Okay, I'd like to share with you a message today that goes along with the service at the end of our service today. It's been a long time coming, you know, as we've been for months, you know, striving forward to having an ordination and, you know, establishing, you know, a leadership team, and we've come to this day. It doesn't seem like it's been without any resistance at all. So many things have come at us, but yet we are here today, and I thought I would share on this subject of leadership today by speaking to you about the value of leadership. Let me give you those words again. I'd like to talk to you today about the value of leadership. And when I examine this subject in a little bit, I'm going to break this word value down into three different word synonyms. Yet, we're going to look at this word value in those ways. But before we get there, let me just share with you an opening statement of my own thoughts. Just my own thoughts and my study that I wrote down on paper, I'd like to just give to you, laying, may we say, a foundation for this message on the value of leadership. As in many organizations, businesses, and groups, the value of these and its leaders are based primarily in its accomplishments, It must be observed that things achieved without integrity, uprightness, and selfless forethought have brought in some instances untold ruin both to the group and those they influence. The real value of Christian leadership is found in his or her inner character. Can I repeat that? The real value or worth, you could say, of Christian leadership is found in his or her inner character. When this worth is evident, all endeavors for Christ are clean. When this is the reality of any leader, when the inner character is of any value and worth according to the eyes of God, then all endeavors for Christ are clean. It's like it said in Matthew 23:26, Jesus said, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." That's Matthew 23:26, in case I didn't interpret that all right. But we see here Jesus was even telling the religious crowd back then that was the supposed leaders, cleanse first that which is within. Get the inside clean, because you know what? We as Christians, and you know what, by the way, as Christians, all of us, perhaps, not even perhaps, probably all of us are a leader in some respect. You may not be in a pulpit as I am, but you may be influencing somebody as a business owner, a Christian business owner. You may be influencing grandchildren. You may have a neighbor that looks up to you as a Christian as they see your Christian testimony. So whether we realize it or not, in some respect or another, we are all leaders. And you know, we must understand that the true value of leadership is not based alone in what we accomplish, but it is grounded and prosperous in what is on the inside. Because it's the character on the inside that makes the man leader or woman leader in their respective positions. Now, with that being said, I'd like to continue on and share on this thing called the value of leadership in three different ways this morning. I'm going to look at this in three different ways, being one, its importance. I'd like to look at its importance. Secondly, its worth. And lastly, its usefulness. So we want to look at this value of leadership as its importance, its worth, and its usefulness. And all three of these, you know, though they are intertwined, yet have, maybe we could say, small differences. But with that being said, if you'd like to turn to the book of Exodus, I want to read from Exodus chapter 18. That's your second book in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 18, I'm going to pick up in verse 13, and I'd like to read down through verse 26 again. Exodus 18, verses 13 to 26. And also, if you could, turn over in the New Testament, if you want to take your finger there, if you can, and put your finger at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Again, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Let me begin by reading in Exodus chapter 18, beginning in verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." We see God never intended for one man to lead a church all by himself. "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do." Verse 21. "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men," that means capable men, "such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. And hard, or we could say difficult causes they brought into Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Now, if you'd like to turn over to Acts chapter 6, I'd like to read the first 6 verses there. Again, Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring," or we could say a complaining, "of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration," that daily food ministration, distribution, the Grecian widows were being neglected. "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables," or distribute this food, you could say. "Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint," or we could say ordain, "over this business," this work. "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. We'll stop right there. So here we see in these two passages of the Bible, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament, as I'm going to start expounding on these scriptures, we see in there the value or the worth you could say, of leadership. Now, I'd like to begin by breaking down this value in three different ways, as I shared with you earlier: its importance, worth, and usefulness. Number one, let us consider the value of leadership in the area of its importance. Why is it important, number one? What is important about it? Well, before we expound on that, let me give you a short definition, if I may, of the word of importance. We can say, by the way, importance is something of worth, something that has value. It's valuable. In other words, we could say that which can have a profound impact on the success of whatever endeavor it may be. Again, that thing that's important, being important because of its ability to have a profound impact on the success of whatever that endeavor may be. And as we are within the four walls of this earthly church building, I believe the success of a church is dependent upon the importance recognized, listen to this, not just by me, the pastor, no, but by all the congregation recognizing the importance of the value of leadership itself. Now, I'd like us to consider the scripture text, you know, both texts, as we look at this thing of importance, and that which, by the way, can have a profound impact on the success of whatever endeavor or ministry it may be. Look, if you would, if you're still there, at Exodus 18, verse 18, chapter 18, verse 18. Again, Moses' father-in-law says, "Thou wilt surely wear away." You're going to waste away, Moses, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Look, if you would, at verse 22 again, in verse 23. "And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." And if you remember what was said over in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, you remember that it was the 12 said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, distribute the food to the widows." Listen, I want us to understand that the importance of leadership is summarized in the following words. It is summarized as, according to our text, our scriptures, sharing the load by leadership, which will both benefit the leaders and the congregation. Listen, the importance of leadership, its value, number one, is found where there is a shared responsibility in the work of God that will both benefit the leaders in that church and the congregation itself. How do we know the congregation itself? Well, if you remember verse 23 back in Exodus 18, it said in these last words, "And all this people shall also go to their place in peace." You know, when there's one individual in any leadership, it can be in a church or it can be in a business or anywhere else, when you have but one man or one woman in whatever respective leadership they are in, and they're the only one to look to, and they have all the responsibility, what is that leader setting both himself up for and that church? He is setting up for failure, because one man, one individual cannot accomplish all of the work of God. But when the work of God is shared with our individual abilities and responsibilities, it benefits both the leaders and the congregation. And the importance of leadership is summarized in that. Consider these words from Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, if you would, where Paul was admonishing the church at Ephesus and sharing again about the importance of different ones involved in the church. He says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And God instituted within His church, and God has people in His churches. Some have the gift of an evangelist. Some have the gift of a prophet. Some have the gift of a teacher. Some have the gift of a pastor. Some other have gifts of other different things, helps, governments, you know, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. And when those gifts are used in the church, those individual talents and shared responsibilities, it is a benefit both to the leaders and to the congregations, because the leaders won't wear away. And listen to this, the congregation will be less apt to become discouraged and not at peace, because when you have one person, it just doesn't pan out right. Secondly, I'd like to just continue to expound on the value of leadership as we looked at why it's important and how it can have a profound impact on the success of whatever endeavor we're talking about, our church here, in a shared a responsibility of leadership. I'd like to now consider the value of leadership in another word called its worth. Now, we look at these words and we say, well, Craig, they're synonyms. They're similarities. They are, but they also have their own definitions. Consider, if you would with me, the word worth, you know, as we look at it in the face of the value of leadership. Worth being this, that which is equivalent in value to the sum or item specified. Again, let me repeat that. That which is equivalent in value to the sum or item specified, sufficiently good, we could say, to justify a specified action. And you know, this word worth is defined right in our text. This is awesome. Our very Bible teaches us of the worth of leadership, where their worth is found, where that which is equivalent in value being to the sum or the item specified. By the way, what is the item specified we're talking about? Leadership. What is the thing that gives them worth to that? Well, let's go back to our text and let's see where this is at. Because again, the scripture declares to us very clearly the worth of a leader. Look at Exodus 18:21, if you would with me. Exodus 18:21, it says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. You see here that the scripture itself now is going to expound upon us in Exodus 18, what is the real worth of a leader? What makes him worthwhile to be able to fulfill the worthwhile task at hand? Well, let's consider. We see it says, number one here, to provide out of all the people able men. This word able, we could use another word called capable. Able or capable, let's define this. That is those of strength to do. Able men, capable men, and by the way, able women and capable women serving in the ways they do are able and capable to fulfill their duties because they have the strength to do. Listen, what is the engine of the Church of Jesus Christ? What is the power of the Church of Jesus Christ? Is it you? Is it me? No, it is the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And when the Spirit of God is in a man and a woman of God, what is he doing? He is empowering, making that individual capable or able to fulfill the task at hand. And here Moses is being admonished and he's being shared to here. It could have been from his father-in-law here, to provide out of all the people, able or capable men, those that have the strength to do. Now listen, I want you to notice something neat that was a blessing to me as I was preparing for this message. I want you to notice next the fruits of this capability. Okay, remember he says to appoint able or capable men, those that have strength to do or accomplish. And remember, that strength is not grounded in me or you. It's grounded in the Word of God. It's grounded in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's grounded in the Holy Spirit, because it is the Spirit of God that empowers us to do. But listen, notice if you would with me the fruits of capability. There's three of them here. Number one, such as fear God. That fruit of being capable are men that fear God. Men that have a reverence and awe and deep respect of God. They honor God. They look to God. You know, think of our nation, if you would, for a minute. As a whole, we have lost our fear of who? God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We've lost that reverence, as a whole, as a nation. And look what we're reaping. Look what we're reaping. We're reaping a godless nation because we've lost our fear or reverence of God. How do we know, by the way, when we reverence God and fear God? Because, you know, there's got to be proof in the pudding, because I could sit here and give you all the fancy words and have nothing to show for it. Remember, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean. Also, the Pharisees were very good of having a portraying on the outside of being godly, but they were corrupt inside, and Jesus called them out for it, and they hated him for it, because he saw the corruptness within. And though our nation may still have this facade of all these freedoms and stuff, we're watching the decay happening within. Why? Because we've lost our fear of God as a nation. We've lost that reverence for God. And when a man or a woman reverences God truly from the heart, they reverence the Bible. They honor the Word. They read the Word. They have not forgotten to bend the knees in prayer to God and give Him thanks and praise and honor for all that He's done for us. And we must realize that able and capable men of God in leadership positions, and women too, are those of strength to do. And their strength to do, that capability has certain fruits to it, and one of them is a fear of God. Let us move on. He didn't just stop there. He went on and said, such as fear God. Then he said, men of truth. Men of truth. You appoint men of truth to help you, Moses. You see, there's certain qualifications here. He didn't just say, go out and pick your favorite person there, the one that you're a buddy-buddy with and that you like, and, you know, maybe they've scratched your back and you've scratched their back. No. He laid out these certain qualifications here. Not only were they men that feared God, but they were men of truth. Can we say men that are faithful? Faithful men of God, faithful to the Word of God, faithful in prayer, faithful to God, faithful to look to the Lord and trust Him. I think of the soldier in Ephesians 6 where it says, and have your loins girt about with what? Remember? Truth. Have your loins girt about with truth. You know, you take a military individual that goes out into war, and if they do not have their proper weapons, they are open game for the enemy. Listen, it's the same in the spiritual realm. If we don't have our loins girt about with truth, if we don't have the breastplate of righteousness on, if we're not holding the shield of faith, if we don't have the helmet of the hope of salvation on, if we don't have the sword of the Spirit of the Word of God, listen, we're open game for Satan. But when we're clothed with the spiritual armor of God, he can't get an inroad. He doesn't find a way. And you know what he says? You know what? I'll just go try to mess with somebody else because they're fully armored. And you know, here, as we're considering the value or the worth of leadership, we come to this thing where the writer told us men of truth, faithful men. And thirdly, there was a third thing he said here, and that is hating covetousness. Those that hate covetousness. You know what, in America, I think a lot of us understand what covetousness is and greed, because we oftentimes see it all around us. As Americans, we're a very driven people. And God blessed this nation with wealth and things. But I'm here to tell you, I believe something happened to this nation that hindered us in our fear of God. Instead of thanking and praising Him for His blessings and holding them with an open hand, we allowed the blessings to take the very place in our life that they never should have taken the place of, and that's our heart. We allowed the things and the wealth to grab our heart and become our idol rather than God being my only lover and thanking him for the blessings and using the wealth and blessings he has given me for his kingdom's work. But we exchanged God and his kingdom for wealth and things and lost our reverence and fear of God. Listen, one of the great qualities of leaders, man or woman, because women are leaders in their own rights and in their own ways. But here, whether we're a man or a woman and we're influencing people, I'm going to tell you one of the great traits that must be a part of our life. And that is that we hate covetousness. We don't love greed. We don't like what can I call it, sordid gain? You know, we're not looking to, you know, gain money in corrupt ways because we're men of truth. We're men that fear God. By the way, sharing these three qualifying things that was written here during Moses' time, very interesting. Does it remind you, by the way, of the qualifications that I taught on, elders and deacons? And so we say, oh, wow, you know, this way even back then in Moses' time, there was a certain class of people that were recognized to bear the burden with Moses. And in this respect, men that fear God, men of truth, and they that hate covetousness. And it reminds us of the qualifications of elders and deacons I taught on. And also, it's a remembrance of Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Remember when there was certain ones to be appointed whom the apostles were going to lay their hands on and did to distribute the food to the widows? Listen, you and I may think, well, that's just an easy task, you know. That's a simple task. What great qualification do you need to go out and, you know, just give food to the needy? But it's amazing here. It says, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report. Honorable men. They have an honest report. They're honorable. They're trustworthy and all of that. But he didn't stop there. He said, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You mean just to distribute bread? Just to distribute food to the widows? Yes. Men that were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and of honest or honorable report. Why? Because accomplishing God's work, here we go, in God's way brings God's grace. But accomplishing the work of God, according to my own standards, often brings disgrace. But accomplishing the work of God through the qualifications of God brings the grace of God that ultimately brings success to that very Christian endeavor. And that's why God knows best. And I believe that when we follow God's ways, we are blessed. Now I'd like to look at one last thing pertaining to the value of leadership as we look at another synonym word for value, which I believe is the word usefulness. You know, because when we talk about something valuable or when we talk about something of worth, obviously it is a thing of usefulness. And so I'd like us to consider the value of leadership in the area of usefulness. When I'm talking about usefulness, by the way, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the practical ability to do. The practical ability to do. Again, consider Exodus 18 briefly here, if you would, with me, verses 25 and 6, because we want to ground our messages in what the Bible says. And our texts lay these truths out for us. Verse 25, Exodus 18, and Moses chose able men out of all Israel. And what did he do? And made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Listen to this, verse 26. And they judged the people at all seasons. And hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And again in Acts, we know that the seven men that were appointed by the apostles were commissioned to practically distribute the food to the widows. And so we see another very important thing about the value of leadership in the word usefulness, being that practical ability to do. Consider, if you would, with me these words here. A leader's effectiveness or usefulness is dependent upon one's worth, as described before that I did, and their practical importance being recognized or used, you could say. Think, if you would, Matthew 25. Do you remember? I won't take the time to turn there for the sake of time, but in Matthew 25, verses 19 to 23, you're going to see there the parable of the talents. You remember the parable of the talents? You know, the one was distributed a certain amount. I think it may have been 5 talents and another 2 and another 1. And then it's said differently, I think, in Luke. But anyways, the one that got 5 talents went and traded and made 5 other talents. The one that got 2 talents went and traded and made 2 other talents. What were they doing? They were being practical. They were being useful. They were making things happen. Why? Because in this parable, they were entrusted with talents, with a work. They were given a work to do. And they were distributed the talents to accomplish the work. And a leader's effectiveness or usefulness will be dependent upon one's worth, as I described to you, and their practical importance being recognized. Let me give you a concluding thought here. When the blind, referring to leaders, when the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. You've heard that before in the Bible, right? When the true value of a leader is engaged, who knows how many will benefit? When the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch, but when the true value of a leader is engaged and at work, as we described the true value of a leader, who knows how many will benefit? Who can sum it up? Who knows how many? Goes back to what was said earlier about being aware of our surroundings. Who is before us? What opportunities are there? You know, when John describes Jesus, he says this thing here. I think I'm going to read it. I didn't have plans on reading it before, but it's applicable to, you know, our message of a leader in their right position. How many they affect, we may never know. It said in John 21:25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. Listen to this: the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. You ever considered that? If every single act of Jesus Christ that he did would be written down, John says, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. You know, you and I, sometimes a simple smile, a simple twinkle in the eye, a recognition of somebody, a text of appreciation, a phone call, an email, a card, whatever it may be, we know not the effect that that may have upon that individual. And I just want to encourage us all that the value of a leadership is not dependent upon just what we do, but its foundation is our inner character and what it produces from the inside out. Okay, at this time I'd like to move on forward with our service today. I want to, before I move on with that, I want to just first of all take the time to thank those of the church that are here, those that are watching online. I had some let me know that they won't be here today, and they may be watching.